All right, Ephesians chapter number 4. You know, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, you understand, if you've been around here very long, the Apostle Paul was the apostle to us, the Gentile church. And he wrote us 13 books directly to the church. One of those is this book, Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 3, if you just go back a chapter real quick, and we're going to go right back to 4, we'll see here that Paul, man, he was a man on a mission. Look with me at verse 8. He said, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints." That's how Paul felt about himself. He said, "Man, I'm the least of all saints." He said, "Is this grace given?" Notice what grace. Look at it. "That I should preach among the Gentiles." That, you understand what a Gentile is? A Gentile is anybody that's not Jewish. You know, God's chosen people in the Old Testament was the nation of Israel. They had a covenant with them, that old covenant through Moses. And anybody who's not a Jew is a Gentile, okay? So how many Gentiles do we have in here this morning? Lift up your hand if you're a Gentile. It's not a trick question. Come on, lift it up. If you don't have your hand up, that means you're Jewish. So, I mean, really, anybody who's not a Jew is a what?
Gentile.
Now look at it. It says that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of who? Now look at verse 9. And to make all men... Boy, he was a man on a mission. He said, "I want to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." You know what he's saying there? Paul's saying, "I want all men, I want all Gentile nations to be able to see what God Almighty has done for them through His Son and through the crosswork of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want all men to be able to see that." Now, you go over to chapter 4, Paul realized there was a great gap between lost mankind and God. You say, what gap are you talking about? Look at Ephesians 4, and it'll explain the gap. Verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord," he tells the church, those who are saved, "that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Well, how do they walk, Paul? They walk in the vanity, the emptiness of their what? Mind. Look at the next verse. "Having the understanding darkened." I want you to really notice that phrase. He said the Gentile nations out here, they've got their understanding darkened. Look at the next phrase. "Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Are you getting the picture? Darkened minds, blindness of heart, ignorance that's in them, alienated from the life of God. Verse 19, "who being past feeling." And the reason why they're past feeling is because they don't have the life of God. In other words, when he says that, doesn't mean they couldn't, you know, go over here and feel Brother Larry, you know, or feel Caleb. No, when it says they're past feeling, that there's no spiritual sensitivity in them. And the reason why there's no spiritual sensitivity is because they lack the life of God. They have no life. They have no spiritual life. Oh, we have physical life, but there's one thing to have physical life. It's another thing to have the spiritual life of God inside of you. They lack that spiritual life. So look at the result, verse 19. "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness." That means all kinds of impurity and wickedness, sexual sin. And it says, "to work all uncleanness with greediness." Just sexual, you know, greedy, materialistic. He said the Gentile nations are like this because of the ignorance that's in them, because their mind is darkened. They have no understanding, spiritual life in them. Now, in your handout, it says, "a lack of understanding creates a gap between lost mankind and God." There's no spiritual life because there's no spiritual understanding. Now, you say, maybe here this morning, and you say, "Pastor Dan, why do people's minds become darkened toward God?" Well, there's really three major reasons why people's sins, or why their minds become darkened. Number one is sin. Sin darkens our mind toward God. If you read sometime the Gospel of John chapter 3 and verse 19, I'll just read it to you for time's sake real quick. In John chapter 3 and verse 19 it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world." Jesus has come. But, look, it says, "Men loved darkness rather than light." Why? Because their deeds were evil. You see, sin darkens the mind. Look in your text there, Ephesians 4, verse 19. That's what it's saying there. "Who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness." Sin. Another reason that people's minds are darkened toward God is Satan. Satan, the devil. Look down at verse 27 in that same chapter. It says, "Neither give place," don't give any space, don't give any room, to who? The devil. Is the devil alive? Is he real? Yes, he is. According to God's Word and the words of Jesus Christ, Satan, the devil, is real. And the Bible says Satan is blinding the minds of them which believe not. Why are minds darkened? Why are they? Why is there no understanding? Because Satan darkens people's mind. Sin darkens people's minds. And then another thing is false doctrine. Where there isn't the light of Jesus, guess what? Satan comes in with false doctrine. Satan comes in with false thinking, wrong thinking, and infiltrates people's minds with all kinds of weird, twisted, distorted thoughts and religious systems that are not in the Bible. They're not according to God's truth. Look at Ephesians 4 and verse 14. It says, you'll see an example of this. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14. "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait." People are lying in wait to what? Deceive. So false doctrine. Now, you've got this gap between lost mankind and God. You've got lost mankind in sin. You've got a holy God. There's this gap. Now, there's this understanding gap that exists. See? There's no spiritual life. There's no spiritual understanding. The mind has been darkened. Now, that gap exists today in countries and in people groups all over the world. Do you remember when this lack of understanding existed in your life? I do mine. I remember when I lacked understanding regarding salvation and what Christ had done for me. And I didn't have understanding. I just went to church as a kid, as a young teenager. I went to church and I thought, man, I'm a pretty good kid and I'll probably go to heaven, you know, because I'm good. I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as him. I'm not as bad as her. There was an understanding gap in my mind. But finally, aren't you glad that even though all of us in here had that understanding gap at one time, aren't you glad that somebody bridged that gap for you? Somebody sat down with you, and they sat down with the Bible, most likely. I mean, that's the way you bridge the gap. They sat down with the Bible, and they explained to you your sin. They explained to you that you've broken God's law. They explained to you that Christ came to take your sin and your punishment upon Himself on the cross, and that by simply believing in faith that His death was sufficient for you, you could be saved just by putting your faith and your trust in Him. What happened is somebody came along and they bridged that gap for you that existed between you and God, that understanding gap. Now, in your handout, it says that our mission as a church is to bridge that gap for others. That's the reason we exist, folks. Think about this a minute, all right? Now think about this. Those of us in here that are members of Crossroads, we know a gracious God with a divine plan for forgiveness and for eternal life. Would you agree with me? We know a gracious God, and He's got a wonderful divine plan for forgiveness, for eternal life for people. We know that God. We understand those things from God's Word. Now, out here you've got lost mankind. And they don't have that understanding because the Bible says that their understanding has been darkened. Now, you and I as a church, we have been called to bridge that gap. That's why God's left us here. We're not playing games. We're not playing church. This isn't a social club. This is not entertainment time. We're on a mission. We've got a job to do. God's left us here for a reason. There's a purpose behind Crossroads Baptist Church, and that is that we have been called to bridge the gap for as many countries, for as many people, for as many people groups that we possibly can. There's over 4,000 people groups out there that do not know anything at all about Jesus Christ that He's even come. There's no gospel witness whatsoever. Now, how can we bridge that gap of understanding? That's what I want to talk about this morning from God's Word right here. How are we as a church going to bridge that gap that exists out there with millions and millions of people that have no understanding of what Christ has done for them? Oh, there may be people that know that Jesus existed, but there's a gap of understanding. How do we bridge the gap? Number one, in your handout, it will take people who will stand in the gap. In your handout, it says God has no other plan to bridge this gap other than people. He's got no other plan. There's no plan B. God's going to use what? People. Say it again. He's going to use? God is committed to working through people on this earth. And if that gap is going to be bridged for millions of people that do not know what Christ has done for them, it's going to be up to people. Look in your handout at a verse, Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man among them. What did God? This is God speaking here. God said, I sought, underline those three words, I sought for a man. Underline the three words for a man. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. And notice this phrase, and stand, say it with me, in the gap. Stand where? In the gap. Before me, he said, for the land that I should not destroy it. Here's the sad part. Look at the end of the verse. Say it with me. But I found none. God said I couldn't find anybody who'd stand in the gap. God has no other plan other than people to bridge the gap, that understanding gap that people have. Look in your handout at Romans 10 in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul writes, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. But then it says, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him? How are they going to believe in Christ? How will they believe in Him of whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? So how is that gap going to be bridged? Somebody tell me. It's going to have to be people. Now, if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, and you look at verses 17, 18, 19, about the vanity of their mind, the Gentiles, he said, have their understanding darkened. Now, flip over to chapter 1. I'm going to show you something neat. Look over at chapter 1, verse 1. He says, when he's writing to these Gentiles at Ephesus, this church, now keep in mind, these were just Gentiles at Ephesus that they were in the same boat as those people in chapter 4. But now look at chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the what? Saints, which are at where? Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. These people were called saints, and they're said to be in Christ Jesus. How did they go from having their minds darkened, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart? How'd they go from that state to over here, saints in Christ Jesus? Let me show you how it happened. Go over to Acts chapter number 19. Keep your bookmarker here, by the way. We're going to come back to Ephesians. And go over to Acts chapter 19. Let me show you how it happened. Acts 19, verse 1. Acts chapter 19. This is a history here of the Apostle Paul and his different trips that he made, missionary trips. Look at Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, look at the next three words. Paul did what? Came to Ephesus. Whew. Do you realize the impact of those three words? He came to Ephesus. Do you want to know how these people went from having their minds darkened, having no understanding, to now they're saints in Christ Jesus? Do you want to know how that happened? Because one day, a man named Paul showed up in Ephesus. That's how it happened. A man showed up. And his name was Paul. Now, I'm going to bring a map up on the screen, and I'm going to show you something. Now, look at the arrow over here on the right. I don't know if you can read that or not, but on that map is a city called Antioch. See that? Now, look at the arrow way over there. That's Ephesus. Now, Paul's hometown was over here, Antioch. So, if his hometown is Antioch, what is he doing way over in Ephesus? Why would Paul end up way over here in Ephesus? Here's why. Because he was a man on a mission. He was a missionary. When you think of the word missionary, what is the word in that word that pops out at you? Mission. He was a man on a mission. And you know what? When he showed up in Ephesus, he didn't know these people. He didn't have family there. He just knew that they were sinful, they were wicked, they were spiritually ignorant of the truth as he once was, as we all were, and they needed understanding, and he was willing to stand in the gap for the people of Ephesus. I said he was willing to stand in the gap for the people of Ephesus. Now, let me bring some pictures up on the screen for you right now. This is five families, six counting Brother Bill, who's going to be preaching our missions conference in 2 weeks. This is five families. And we've kind of been sharing these families with you, and they're going to be showing up on the property. Now, you look at them, they just look like normal families, right? They don't look like creatures from Mars, do they? I mean, they just look like normal people like you and me, right? Why would these people, thinking people, people that, you know, I know these guys. I mean, these guys are sharp. They could probably, you know, go to college here in America. They could go and get some, you know, corporate job and be making six figures a year. Why in the world would they load up their families and go to Mexico, Togo, West Africa, Guyana, South America? Why would they go to Lithuania? Why would they go to United Kingdom? He's going to go to London and start a church. Why in the world would they do this? Because there's a gap. There's a gap. There are multitudes with no spiritual understanding in these places. And these people have said, we will stand in the gap. That's why they're going. They said, we're going to stand in the gap. We're going to stand in the gap for those people over there in Guyana that don't know Christ, never heard of Him. He's in Guyana, over here, the man's. He's going in jungle areas where you've got to either go by boat or foot. No freeways. There's no I-4. There's no I-95. You've either got to go by foot or there's no Holiday Inn back in there. They set up tents when they travel and live in tents when they go to these villages. Why? Because there's a gap. They've said, we're going to stand in the gap. Now, the question is this. Why would we as a church help them? Why would we help them? Why would we pray for them? Why would we encourage them? Why would we give money to them? Because they're on the same mission we are. You see, maybe you and I can't go to Guyana. Maybe we can't go to Togo, West Africa. Maybe we're not going to be able to go to London or to Lithuania or Mexico. We maybe can't go there, but we can help them to be able to go and help them to be able to stand in the gap. We can help them. This is the mission. This is what we're all about. That's why Christ left us here. You miss this, you miss everything. You spend your whole life, be born, get saved, and die, but miss this. And boy, you're going to be sorry in eternity you missed out on this. Because this is what it's all about. This is why Christ has left us here. And in a couple of weeks, in a few weeks, I don't even know what I did with it now. Where? Thank you, Brother Larry. Boy, you've been a big help to me today. Thank you. in a few weeks, you're going to receive one of these. It's a little kind of blue block on it. You say, what's that? It says, my weekly commitment to worldwide evangelism and church planting. You see, God wants us to be involved in the mission. The mission is, we've got tons of people out there with no understanding. They lack spiritual understanding. Their mind's been darkened. And we've been called to help to bridge that gap. And when we give weekly, I'm talking about regularly, I'm not talking about just dropping in something during missions conference. I'm talking about when we give systematically, regularly, where it's a priority, where we say, okay, just like I pay my light bill, just like I pay my rent or my house payment, just like I pay my car payment, I'm going to give so that darkened minds can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we make a commitment like that, what we're doing is we're impacting eternity out there. We're going to see the results of that when we die and we're in heaven. We're going to see the results of living that kind of a life, to where bridging the gap for people is just a part of our weekly life. It's just part of something that we are, part of something that we do. Number two in your handout, what's it going to take to bridge this gap of understanding? It's going to take the systematic teaching of God's Word. It's going to take this book. If darkened minds are going to come to an understanding of Christ, it's going to take the systematic teaching of God's Word. Now, real quickly, go to Acts 19, verse 8. Paul shows up in Ephesus. He says, I'm going to stand in the gap for these people. And verse 8 says, he went to the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So he goes into the Jewish synagogue because Paul was a Jew. They didn't want to hear it. Look at verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not. You know, religious pride's a terrible thing. You know religious pride is going to keep more people from the gift of eternal life than anything else? You know Satan loves religion? What we're doing here is not religion at Crossroads. We have a living, vibrant faith in a resurrected Jesus Christ. We live a faith. We don't have a religious system here, okay? There's no list of do's and don'ts and this and that. You've got to fit the religious system or you're not accepted here. No, listen, Satan's got a lot of religious systems out there. A lot of them. And he loves it. Because religious pride is what makes people think, I don't need Jesus. I don't need this. I don't need to be saved. I'm not that bad. I'm better than him. I'm better than her. And religious pride is what will send so many people to a Christless eternity. Religious pride. That's what happened here in verse 8. They didn't want to hear it. Ah, we got our religion, Paul. Move on. So he does. Verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them. Okay, you don't want to hear it? Fine, I'll move on. And notice it says, he separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Verse 10, and this continued by the space of 2 years. Now look at this. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. You know what Paul does? Paul says, okay, you don't want to hear it? Fine, I'll set up shop here in this school, lecture hall, whatever it was. I'm going to set up shop here. And for 2 years, this whole area heard the Word of God because of Paul's teaching the Word of God and because of his disciples he had trained and were going out. They heard the Word of God. What did Paul's message focus on? A religious system? No, his message centered, verse 10, they heard the word of the Lord Jesus. His message focused on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Folks, everything goes back to what Christ has done. You know what religious systems say? You need to do this, you need to do that, you need to be baptized by us, you need to join our church, you need to do this ritual, you need to do this rite if you want to be acceptable to God. But you know what the fact of the matter is? There's nothing for us to do. Christ has already done it all on the cross. The work's been done. It's complete. It's final. Christ has done it all. It's a completed, finished work. Listen, the way for mankind to be reconciled to God has already been made. You can try to make your own way of reconciliation. Christ has already made the way of reconciliation by taking your sins and my sins, paying for them, taking the wrath of God for our sin on that cross. He took, the Bible says, He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. He took all of our sins, past, present, and future, and He paid for those in full on the cross there at Calvary. Amen? The work's been done. It's been complete. It's final. And so Paul is showing these people from the Bible the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, and what He's done. What's He doing? He's teaching God's truth. And as He's teaching the truth, then what's it doing? It's bridging the gap of understanding. See, people are starting to get it. They're at Ephesus. They're starting to get it. Okay. All right, I see it. Yeah. Oh, okay. Jesus, the Son of God. Okay, He came to this earth. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He could die for our sins because He never sinned one time. Oh, I see. Okay, He rose again. Wow, over 500 witnesses saw Him. Paul, you've seen Him? Yeah, I've seen Him. Okay, people are starting to get it as He shows them in the Bible. They're starting to get it. Those darkened minds, understanding's coming. What brings understanding to darkened minds? Is it just some sovereign act of God where God says, poof, now you get it? No. It's not some mystical, magical thing that happens and then poof, people get it. No. You know how people come? Look in your handout. It says, it is God's Word that brings light and understanding. In your handout are some verses I'd love for you to look at. Psalm 19:7-8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord, the Bible, it's right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Notice this. What does the commandment of the Lord do? It enlightens the eyes. Look at the next verse, Psalm 119:104. Through thy precepts, that's the Bible, I get understanding. How do I get understanding? Look at it. Think. How do I get understanding? Through thy precepts, through the Bible. Look at the next one, Psalm 119:130. The entrance of thy words giveth what? Light. It giveth, aha, here we go. You got sin darkened minds. Satan has blinded minds. You got people out there whose understanding's completely darkened. But look what the Bible says. Notice, the entrance of thy word giveth light. What does the Bible give? It giveth what? Understanding unto the simple. That means foolish. Notice verse 20, Acts 19:20. It says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That's what our missionaries are doing. God's word is spiritual dynamite. Romans 1:16. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You want to know what our missionaries are doing? They are going out to these different areas where people's minds are darkened. They're systematically teaching and explaining God's word. And in your handout, it says they are bridging that gap. They're seeking to bring understanding to darkened minds. Real quickly, I want to share with you something. Last year in our conference, Jim and Shelley Dinsmore were here, and they were going to head to Guatemala. Remember, young couple, sharp young couple. They were heading to Guatemala. They're going to go to the area called the Petén of Guatemala. It's a jungle area where there's villages, and there is no gospel witness they've ever found. There is no witness to Jesus Christ in this area. I want you to watch this 2-minute video, and they're going to give you an update of how things are going in Guatemala. And the sound's a little rough. I hope you can make it out. Let's play.
Hello from Guatemala. We've been here 7 months now.
All of y'all have a part in us being here, so we wanted to let you know what's been going on.
So far, we've had the opportunity to work in a church teaching Sunday school, vacation Bible school, and I've had several opportunities to preach in Spanish.
I will finish Spanish school in May so that we can start learning an indigenous language together.
Lately, I've been teaching Greek in the seminary here, and I've had some opportunities to visit other churches as a clown as well.
We also got to be a part of a medical team the Boggs brought down. It was perfect for us so that we can be prepared for our own upcoming medical team.
In May, a medical team is coming down, and we will be taking them to help a national church in the mountains of Huehuetenango. It will be a great experience to lead the team and help a Guatemalan church begin a new work. Shelley and I will be going into these areas in April to build some rapport with some videos and kids programs.
At the end of May, we will be moving to Petén, the northern rural region of Guatemala. There is a Spanish-speaking village there with no work in it at all. When we asked the people if they knew who Jesus was, they told us that they knew the name, but didn't know anything about him. We are so excited to be able to begin this work, Lord willing, in July.
While working in that village, Shelley and I will also find a Quechua tutor. That is the indigenous language of Petén. There are over 900,000 of these people in Guatemala. We still have not found any other gospel-preaching missionaries in Petén. Being able to speak Quechua is a necessity to working with these people in the very rural areas where the gospel has never been before.
If you want to experience missions firsthand, we would love to have you come and visit. We need teams of people willing to come and hold vacation Bible schools, athletic events, or do evangelistic skits or dramas.
A big need that would open a lot of new doors is medical teams. Dentists, doctors, hygienists, nurses, pharmacists, whatever your specialty, will address a real need that people have here and allow us to be able to minister more effectively.
Thank you to all of you who have been praying for us and supporting us. There have been some tough times, but there also have been some very exciting times that you have had a part in and will see the fruit in heaven.
Thank you very much for your prayers and support.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be.
Isn't that great? Boy, it's so good to see them over there. And you know what they're doing? I don't know if you, I know you couldn't hear all the words. They said in July they're going to the Petén, that jungle area. And they said they went to a Spanish-speaking village there. And they said that when they asked them if they'd ever heard of Jesus Christ, they said, well, I think we've heard the name once. Think about that. Sin darkened minds that have been darkened with no spiritual understanding. Why would a sharp young couple like that give their life to go to an area like this? Because they're bridging the gap. They are taking a gap that exists. People's minds are darkened. They're alienated from the life of God because they have no spiritual understanding. There's no light. There's no spiritual light and understanding. Their hearts have been blinded. And so they're going to go with the Word of God, and they're going to explain to them and teach the Word of God to these people. Why? Because the entrance of His Word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. Amen, church? Well, so the last thing in your handout is this. What's it going to take to bridge the gap? It's going to take willing hearts to learn and believe God's Word. You see, Paul taught the Bible for 2 years. What happened? Let's look down at Acts 19, verse 17. Acts 19, 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts, witchcraft, they brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the what? The Word of God and prevailed. The Ephesians' understanding was darkened. They were alienated from the life of God. They were spiritually ignorant and blind. But when Paul showed up, teaching God's Word, what happened? This is where I want you to go to Ephesians 4, and we're done. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and this will be the last thing we'll look at. Ephesians 4, what happened to the Ephesians to change their life? Why did they go from darkened minds without understanding to being saints in Christ? Because a man showed up named Paul, he taught them the Word of God, and look at verse 20. Ephesians 4, verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Now look at me. These people in Ephesus, they heard the truth of Jesus. They were taught the truth of Jesus. They learned the truth of Jesus. As our missionaries teach God's Word, there are inevitably people who will hear and then they will learn God's Word. Do you know what these people in Petén, where Brother Jim Densmore is, in Guatemala, do you know what happens when they hear and then they learn God's truth? Look with me at John chapter 6 on the screen and verse number 45. Can we bring that up, please? As it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father. What did Jesus say? They what? They come unto me. They've got to be taught. They got to hear it. They got to be taught it. And Jesus said, if they get it, if they learn it, then He said, they come unto me. That's what our missions is all about. Because once they get it, their life is forever changed. Look at this verse. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what, church? Is that just for Americans, or will that work in Guatemala? Will it work? Yeah, it'll work there. It'll work in London. It'll work in Guyana. It'll work in Mexico. It'll work. But there's a gap. It's a gap of understanding. Nobody's ever taught them. Nobody has ever brought the book. Nobody's ever brought the message of Jesus. But once it's brought, and once they hear it, and once they learn it, and they put their faith in Jesus Christ, they're a new creature. Their life's forever changed. And then the missionary forms them into a local church, trains up leadership, so that when he leaves, the Word of God continues. And then at that point, that missionary goes to another place where he can stand in the gap again for those people and bring understanding to their darkened minds. So, in review, what does it take to bridge the gap of understanding? You with me? It takes people. People who will stand in the gap, what we saw on the screen. People who will stand in the gap, they'll teach God's Word, and then God's Word does the work. It brings conviction, it sheds light, and then people are saved, and they're reconciled to God. That's the mission, that's why we exist. In your handout, it says we are all about taking the truth of God to people that have no spiritual life and are spiritually ignorant. Why is that what Crossroads is all about? It's so that they can come to an understanding of the truth. We've got to bridge the gap. Paul says we're ambassadors for Christ. Hey, you're in Ephesians? Go two books to the right. I just want to show you one thing real quick. Colossians. Okay, go through Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And I want you to look at this. This is so cool. Colossians chapter number 1. We've been given a glorious message. Look at Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is that great mystery? Well, he says it's Christ where? In you, the hope of glory. That's for all Gentiles. And then look at verse 28. What's the response to that great, glorious truth? Paul said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man. Three times every man is used in that verse. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You know what our response should be to this message today? Man, we have got to get the message out. We've got to teach every man. We've got to warn every man. We've got to bridge that gap. What's going to be your part in helping to bridge that gap? You may be here today and you're not even saved yourself. Man, if you've never been saved, really, you need to get that settled. You need to know what Christ has done for you. You don't have to join this church. You don't have to do anything. But I tell you one thing, you've got to come to an understanding of what Christ has done for you. It's not a question of what you can do for God to try to earn heaven. It's a question of what God's already done for you in Christ. He's done it all. Let's go to God in prayer right now. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I...